Welcome to episode 2 of the I'm Sorry Mark Jackson podcast. We've got Sam Martin, Quentin Rosborough, Dan Roll in the house. Talk a little NBA. Special edition, episode 2, Western Conference preview. We're fired up. We're going to get right into the first and most important meal of the day with some hot cakes and hot takes. Dan, would you like to lead us off?
Yeah, so we're starting with the Western Conference, which I think has been nicknamed the Western Conference recently. But I have a bit of a take. I'm curious for your thoughts. What if this conference really isn't the best conference? Like, I think it's been without a doubt the past 3 years that the West has been overwhelming favorites. They won the championship. They won it every year that the Heat didn't. So it's been pretty impressive. I think that their numbers may be against them recently. They look very top heavy this year, and I think that the Eastern Conference might be taking that next step. I'm just curious to see what you guys think, if the West really is still the best.
Well, so I think the Eastern Conference is going to have a lot of teams in that, like, 44 to 48 win range, you know what I mean? So you're going to have teams like the Wizards, the Heat, the Raptors, maybe the Bucks, that are all going to finish, you know, the four to six spot is going to be real tight in the Eastern Conference this year. And so you could say that, yeah, like the top two or three teams in the West are better than the top two or three teams in the East. But I think 4 through 8, it's if it's not like the same, the East could be better.
I would say that I disagree with everything that you said. I think the Western Conference is outstanding. I think that the Warriors, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Thunder, and possibly the Rockets would all finish first in the Eastern Conference were they switched. The Rockets are not hot right now, but I think they're going to heat up. The Western Conference has like incredible teams at the top. The East has the Cavs. The Bulls would be like 5-6 seed range in the West, in my opinion, my humble opinion. And I think that, you know, going down into that sort of middle class where, you know, the teams that are on the rise, like Washington in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee,
Toronto,
sort of those like up and coming teams. The West also has Utah, has, Phoenix, and, I guess as far as up and coming teams, that's kind of it. Now that I look a little deeper, although they do have Minnesota,
right?
We're going to talk a little bit about Minnesota. Yeah. Has some really nice talent coming along. East has some teams that could get good. I don't see any team in the East that's going to, besides Cleveland, that's going to rise up to that very top tier of Golden State, LA Clippers, Oklahoma City, and what was
Houston?
My fourth one? Houston's kind of fifth. I would say San Antonio, okay, as far as four like title contenders. I don't think, other than the Cavs, the East doesn't have anybody who's that good or is going to be that good in the near future.
Let me draw the analogy a little bit more here. I think 2012-2013 NBA standings would be peak West right now. So in 2012-2013, if you look at the Eastern Conference, you had a team in the Heat that had 66 wins above everyone else, right? I would say that's pretty analogous to what the Warriors look like they're about to do to the West.
The Warriors won 67 last year, so pretty much the same.
Then you've got a Spurs team who, granted, are probably a great playoff team, are older, and they look like they probably are not going to be as strong as a regular season team. I would kind of find them analogous to a Knicks or a Pacers squad from that time.
I have to just completely disagree because the Pacers, that was a good Pacers team with that like really long defensive team, and they both teams have David West, and I think the comparison's end there because Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan, and, you know, they have Danny Green, and then whatever's left of Tony Parker and Manu, which is not nothing.
Okay.
I think they would dominate either of those teams.
So maybe they're apples and oranges. But, I mean, we're talking about a top-heavy Eastern Conference that had the Heat, Pacers, Bulls, and Knicks. And maybe if you wanted to count what the Nets were doing with 49 wins that year as a top-tier team, that's about 4 or 5 teams.
I just threw up. Right? So you, if you're listening at home, you can't see that, but I just threw up.
But all I'm saying is, in the West, and I think we'll get down to this when we actually get down to the teams, I just don't see who's going to compete for a finals or really even a conference finals besides the Thunder and the Warriors, and maybe the Rockets if they could get it together. But I just really think at the start of the season, if you look at the way that the Spurs are coming out and the way that the Rockets are coming out, that this conference really has been hyped a lot, and I think that the playing field might be level. Maybe the West is still best, but I don't know. This might be their last year on top.
Great part about doing a podcast is when you disagree, it's on the record. So we can look at this at the end of the year, and one of us is going to be gloating. Yeah. So, Quentin, hot take.
My hot take, and I've been watching a lot of New York Knicks basketball for some reason, and I am loving what I'm seeing out of Kristaps Porzingis. Like for a guy who, 7'2", European basketball player, exactly the type of pick New York Knicks fans would hate and boo on draft night. And I feel like he knew it, he embraced it, and now is like doing everything he can to just like earn the respect of Knicks fans, and he is incredible.
I am a big fan thus far. I'm a very big fan, and I said in episode one that they might regret taking him over Moutier, and Moutier is still really good, and they may. Porzingis is nice. Because he's silky.
He can rebound.
The rebounding and the
putback dunks.
Yeah, the sort of aggressiveness. That's what's really impressive because you expected him to be kind of overwhelmed maybe by the NBA. He's going in and competing, and he's very talented. Very good signs.
The team defends better with him on the court. So my take, I feel like given the elevated stage he's on, I do feel like Kristaps Porzingis is my pick for Rookie of the Year.
Is he the bishop of the Cathedral of Basketball?
I don't understand this reference.
We're going with New York City as sort of being the Vatican of basketball.
Okay,
yes.
Does that make Carmelo the Pope, or is Adam Silver the Pope?
That's a good question.
That's a really good
question. That's a good question.
I think we'll ride with Phil.
I think Phil Jackson.
He would definitely get my vote.
Phil's definitely the Pope.
Yeah. All right. What about James Dolan? What is James Dolan in this
relationship? Who's the most corrupt cardinal? You know there are cardinals like since this current pope has been in office that are like, because he's kind of liberal, and they're like going against him and being like, no, gay people are terrible and all that. That's James Dolan.
what if James Dolan is the ex-pope? Benedict.
Okay.
It's more like the former really successful pope's shitty son.
Yeah, you need someone like way more inept for this analogy.
Even though
so whoever's like the archbishop
chaste,
of
I don't know.
Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is. All right. I am also going to talk about a rookie in my hot take. And my opinion is that I'm not sure whether he will be the Rookie of the Year this year or not, but Carl Anthony Towns, I think, is the best player to enter the NBA since the Brow, Anthony Davis. Both played center at Kentucky, both outstanding on defense. Carl Towns, a little bit bigger, a little bit less rangy and athletic, but that's not saying that he's not a very rangy, athletic dude, because Anthony Davis is superhuman. His offensive game, very, very impressive. Silky shooter out to 21 feet right now. Takes it confidently. Form is good, hits it consistently, can post up, got both hand hook shots, sort of a more classic offensive player than the Brow. I'm going to kind of work that comparison a little bit. The Brow, better all-around offensive player, better face-up, better jumper, just better at basketball, I think. But Carl Towns, defensively, covers a huge amount of space, block shots, can body up and man on... Man, Whiteside kind of got the best of him the other day, but it wasn't like Whiteside was just wiping the floor with him. And Whiteside's a big, mature man, and Carl Towns, I think, is 19.
Right.
I am very in on Carl Towns, and, rest in peace, Flip Saunders. A lot of, love to the whole Timberwolves family and organization, going through a really tough offseason for them. But their franchise, after some serious dark ages, is starting to look like it's got a little bit of a talent base. They've got Karl Towns, they've got Wiggins, and they've got, you know, some other things. One big advantage Karl Towns will have over Anthony Davis is in his career that both those guys are in the Garnett mold, and Karl Towns is on a team with Kevin Garnett.
Exactly.
So he's going to teach him the way of the dragon. Yeah. And I can definitely see him developing a just vicious turnaround like Kevin Garnett has and being a really outstanding player. Love Karl Towns.
If you had to start a franchise today, would you rather start it with Karl Anthony Towns or Giannis?
Only because of position, Karl Towns.
Okay. Because I feel like I agree with your take, but I think Giannis is very close to being as tantalizing as a prospect.
I'm as in on Giannis as I could possibly be.
Yeah.
I love him. And I think Karl Towns has a little more polish, a little less age, and a better position. Those are the three advantages. Giannis, though, has more of a freak factor.
Yes. Which, you never know what Giannis is going to do.
Yeah. He's so long. And his jumper's coming around right now. Man, if he can start hitting shots, woof.
Yeah.
Boy.
I want to get this on the record, so it's a bit of a technicality, but Anthony Davis and Deion Waiters were drafted in the same year. Technically, Deion Waiters entered the draft in between what you're saying, between the brow and between Carl Anthony Towns. Deion Waiters was drafted. So are you saying that...
I'm crying.
that Carl Anthony Towns is a better player today that you would start a franchise with him over Deion Waiters?
I couldn't be happier. That was all I'm going to say right now.
I couldn't be happier. I just want that one on record.
Waiters Island. Okay, we're going to take it to our next segment, which is the three-man weave, Western Conference Preview Edition. I'm going to lead things off. I'm taking the Pacific Division, and I'm going to talk about last year's number one overall seed, 67-15, incredible average margin of victory, something like 10 points was their average margin of victory during the season. Kind of cruised to a title, had a couple rough patches, but the defending NBA champions, I'm saying this right next to a Draymond Green jersey that is hanging from my mantle. My dog, whose name is Draymond, is over on the other side of the room. So you know I'm in on the Golden State Warriors. The only question with the Warriors that I think can even be asked is, like, are they too good? Like, is it less fun because they're so incredibly good? Their team, incredible balance. They're bringing back everybody from last year except David Lee. I think... One of my takes on this team is that I think I see Bogut, who has this year and next year left on his current contract, going kind of the way of David Lee.
Yeah.
Because Azili's been
awesome.
Really nice.
He was really
and
good.
Young
last
and athletic. And he looked good when I remember they played the Clippers and I went to the game on my birthday a few years ago when he was a rookie and he had some nice stuff going on.
Yeah.
And he's putting it together, gives them what they need out of the center position. This team doesn't have to play the way that anybody else plays because of their athleticism, their defensive just scheme and players, and Steph Curry.
Yep.
Steph Curry, best offensive player in the NBA right now.
Yep.
One of the best offensive players I've ever seen. Certainly the best shooter I've ever seen. Absolute joy to watch. Klay Thompson, a little bit more hot and cold than Steph, but still just absolutely outstanding. Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, three players who can just defend the hell out of anybody, play all of those three positions. I watched recently the Clippers-Warriors game this week, and I mean, just I had an erection while I was watching it because it was just such good basketball, two great teams. And they switched Iguodala on to Blake Griffin, and he just put him in a dungeon. Just kind of shut him down, and that's a small forward dominating one of the more muscly power forwards. Playing Draymond Green at center was able to kind of win them the title last year. Everybody wants to go small in the NBA right now, but the Warriors, they have Bogut and Azili at center when they want to go big or when they play Marc Gasol in the playoffs. But everybody thinks that, you know, you can go small. Well, no one's ever going to do it better than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. That lineup is just insanely good. Draymond, my favorite pretty much athlete of all time. I love him. huge Michigan State fan, and he was just an incredible player for 4 years there. Loved him from when he was a chubby freshman all the way to like a player of the year candidate as a senior. He moves the ball so well. He handles the ball so well. He shoots it pretty well now. Yeah. You know, as far as offensive power forwards in the NBA, he's up there. And he's probably the best defensive player of any position in the NBA. And just an outstanding team all around. What do you guys have any thoughts on the Warriors?
I mean, I might have some bias, but I think that the Warriors benefit from probably having one of like the definitive best players in the NBA. I think honestly that Steph might go down as like the best guard in the NBA, period.
I mean, Michael Jordan was a guard, right. So I think point guard.
I think he
he's
might be
in the conversation.
Point.
Wow.
But anyways,
too hot.
Even for this podcast, no. I'm gonna open a window. Let's move forward.
No.
Wait, all I'm saying is, how many players on this team would be anywhere as good as they are without Steph Curry on that team, taking the shots and making the assists that he does? I think the magic and hocus pocus that he's working is, honestly, it's taking players like Draymond Green, who, honestly, I don't know why he would be in the NBA when he was drafted 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and now he looks like a top forward in the NBA. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with what Steph's doing right now.
Well, I want to just give another shout out to Draymond Green for being one of the reasons that this podcast exists, because when Quentin and I first met, we were at a party, and he was talking NBA, kind of holding court with some people, and I walked over and I made the loud proclamation that Draymond Green was a better player than Harrison Barnes, and we disagreed, and no one would have agreed with me at that time.
No, this is what, 2012?
I think this was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, he wasn't starting.
Two and a half. It was before he had his breakout year last year. So it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Draymond has a skill set that he had in college where he's a force multiplier.
Right.
Steph Curry is a force multiplier. They have these guys who, it's the same thing we're going to talk about with the Clippers, of having two creators, two people who are smart and can win the game with intelligence, and the perfect fit around them of Barnes, Bogut, Iguodala, Thompson, who can capitalize and finish on the space those guys create. So I think Curry is the key, but they have it built around him perfectly.
Yeah. I will say the Golden State Warriors are the best basketball team I've ever seen, period. The way that they defend, the way that they always are taking open jump shots, it's ridiculous. And I think so far this year, I think their margin of victory is like 20 points, which is insane.
They somehow won the title, won 67 games, and came into the next season just pissed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an even bigger chip on their shoulder, which is nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
You know, many rings on that guy. He knows what he's doing. Credit to also, you know, I'm going to mention Draymond. This is the last time. Draymond Green, who was a huge leader at Michigan State. And I think last year, a small part of their success was him giving them so much sour attitude.
Oh, absolutely.
And just being pissed
absolutely.
At things that other teams did and, like, you know, sticking his tongue out at Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Just making,
it was the best.
Sort of creating that sort of delightful amount of anger.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I take a quick 30 seconds just to undo my Lincoln Chaffee response? I do want to clarify. I think that the Michael Jordan claim is, now that I'm so rambling, not really that founded. But I will say, I think Steph, like, in the most pure idea of guards, you know, in three-point shooting and assists and the way that he handles the ball, is probably one of the best in the NBA.
Absolutely. And, you know, to back up your Michael Jordan statement, he's not as good as Michael Jordan. But watching him play basketball is a lot like watching Michael Jordan play basketball, and that it's ridiculous the amount of things that he can do on the court. It's unexpected what he can achieve on the court, and it's Michael Jordan-esque. Now, he does not have the stats or the achievements of Michael Jordan, but I understand where you're coming from.
I also think that if you just add one word, and that is offensive, I think that Steph Curry could potentially be one of the best offensive players of all time in the NBA.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, Wilt dominated his era.
Or Shaq.
The game's moving in the perimeter direction. And, you know, because the Warriors are so influential on the way other teams are doing, trying to go small.
Right.
But they're so good at it and so perfectly constructed, and it's because of Steph.
Yeah, absolutely.
The space that he creates, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move forward. Yeah, we can't do a full podcast on the Warriors. All right, let's go to Southwest Division. Quentin,
yeah,
talk to us about the Rockets.
The Rockets, what a weird team the Rockets are. They started off the season with three straight 20-point losses. James Harden didn't look like a good basketball player. Everyone started to think, myself included, that the Little B curse had carried over into the next season.
Yep. He also Kardashian stink.
Yeah, you know.
Double whammy.
It's just a weird, like, no one really knows how good Dwight Howard is, who's their starting power forward, who's their starting point guard. I think there are a lot of questions about this Rockets team.
Absolutely.
Going into the year, and they answered none of them for the first three games. Since then, though, they've run off a 3-game winning streak. James Harden had like 43-13 last night against the Kings. This team should be really, really, really good. If you want to talk about flexibility, pace, space, offense, and defense, this team is as close to the Warriors as you're going to get.
They do the small ball four out thing with. I don't know what the word... It's like with vigor. Like, yeah. They do it with enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they want so hard to just shoot threes and get layups.
Yeah.
And they're doing that, you know, sort of card-counting take where, like, a three is objectively better than a two unless it's a layup.
Exactly.
And they live that way.
And they have... You have two great point guards in Beverly and Lawson. You have Dwight Howard, who should be the league's best center. And then, obviously, you have James Harden. You know, that team is ridiculous. And then you surround them with... like flexible wing defenders, like the Trevor Ariza, I'm blank on it. Corey Brewer.
Also, like Terrence Jones, when healthy, kind of offers you a lot of that sort of flexibility.
Exactly.
4-3.
And what's crazy is I don't know if Terrence Jones is going to end the year on the Rockets. For whatever reason, Mikhail really, really likes
Monty Unis,
and then Montrezl Harrell. So it's possible Terrence Jones gets traded this year.
I don't love Harrell as much as I think, like, Terrence Jones needs to play more than Harrell.
Oh, I completely agree.
Like, Harrell is Michigan State played Louisville in the tournament last year. Watched him, studied him a little bit. Beast, but he doesn't have the refinement.
Yeah, exactly.
The Terrence Jones has. I think that as a Pistons sort of follower, whoever the Rockets cast out of Monte Unis and Terrence Jones should be their next power forward. I like Ersan Ilyasova, but they need – that's a big area where they can
absolutely
improve.
But, I mean, the Rockets on paper should be the Western Conference second best team, I think.
Yeah.
James Harden right now shooting 34% from the field. Right. That's not helpful. Quick note on James Harden, and a lot of people were down on him after a couple games, and saying, you know, oh, is James Harden this? James Harden goes hard in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't, if you haven't seen it, you need to Google James Harden boat party.
Oh, that's the best photo
James
of
Harden
all
boat
time.
Party. And there's a photo of him holding a bottle of pink champagne with like, a blonde under each arm, and he's shirtless.
Yeah,
in white.
Everyone
pants,
is wearing white,
and he's got like a captain hat.
Yeah. Oh, it's
and
the greatest.
I'm gonna try to find the exact photo, and we'll post it somewhere. You can follow me on Twitter, Sam Mark Martin. I'll throw it up there. But just he parties really hard. He lives in LA in the off season.
Yeah. He lives in Houston during the regular season.
Takes him a few games to get ready.
Exactly. So I mean, we'll see what happens with this team. Obviously, they're a team no one wants to face in the playoffs, but I think it's really, really tough to make any real predictions other than it's quite possible that if things don't go right, I could very easily see this team cashing out on all their wings and power forwards and trying to get that fourth, you know, superstar.
Is that fourth superstar, Dan, is it Carmelo?
Well, I honestly think that there wouldn't be a better fit for a team. Maybe the Bulls, but
the Bulls have the pieces to get Carmelo.
Yeah, I think Carmelo would be a perfect fit on this team. I mean, not that they really need more shooting, but just if they did have this.
Oh, that photo's incredible.
Just throwing up a photo of James Harden in like a leopard print cowboy hat. grinding on a young lady.
Sunglasses at night.
At his all-white boat party.
Yeah.
And just if you're wondering if he doesn't, if he might take a few games to get back into shape.
I think Carmelo Anthony would be a perfect fit on this team. It would really take him to the next level. But I have reservations. You know, I'm really reading into their start and seeing the tea leaves not looking good. I think three games started by Howard. I mean, I know he was serving a suspension, but I mean, for your starting center, who's supposed to be the centerpiece of your franchise, to be sitting out games, you know, week one is just it's a bit strange.
It is a bit strange, but like, it's tough because this system is not really made for a player like Dwight Howard, but he's still putting up, you know, 16-10.
I also, you know, they do a little bit of what the Stan Van, you know, big center, kind of do all the dirty work and then go four out. And I think in that sense, Dwight Howard is a little bit of a fit. He could be a perfect fit if he just let them run pick and roll all the time. He demands to get post touches, which is not great for them.
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's not his strength.
It's not his strength, but if like his best years in Orlando, he was getting post touches and was putting up MVP numbers. So I can't blame him for running the ball more, especially when you start off as poorly as the Rockets have.
I think that he needs a few touches a game, but like last year in the playoffs, he was calling for it every time down the floor. And, you know, let him get you the ball in a better position. You got James Harden, one of the best creators. Now Lawson, also another Beverly. One of the great creators. Everybody's looking to give him the ball. It's not, you know, you don't need to ISO.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Dan. First place last year, probably not going to be first place this year in the Northwest. Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, first place on a technicality. 51 wins last year puts them, by my count, sixth in what would be the new standings this year.
First place in the division, not the conference. Yes. So I think it would be maybe you're thinking they're second or third in that division this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know if I like what the Trailblazers did. I mean, you look at their starting rosters. There's been almost a complete turnover, with the exception of Damian Lillard. They've lost Wes Matthews. They've lost. Let me just pull up the list here.
Obviously Aldridge.
Aaron Aflalo.
Nick Batum.
Yeah, Aflalo and Robin Lopez to the Knicks. LaMarcus Aldridge lost to the Spurs. I don't understand why they didn't try and pitch this guy better.
LaMarcus Aldridge is gone. LaMarcus Aldridge is never going to stay.
Low Post podcast, shout out to Zach Lowe, RIP Grantland.
Yeah.
I think we should throw that in every episode. with Neil Olshey kind of broke that down, and they tried really hard to re-sign him. There was nothing they could do, I don't think.
And I still think that when they let LMA walk, which I know there's a lot that goes on before he actually walks out that door, but I think that really ended their franchise hopes for quite some time.
It's devastating. And they're going to have to try to rebuild around Lillard.
I'm going to shine a ray of light on this team. They have such a fucking awesome backcourt in Lillard and McCollum. CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm.
It's tasty.
I think right now they lead the league in like high scoring backcourts. I think they average 50 points a game between the two of them. That's awesome. You have Myers Leonard as a stretch center, which is also awesome. Like, that team, like, they're going to suck, but they're going to be so much fun to watch. It's totally fine.
Yeah, the Lillard-McCollum thing is very interesting because those guys score a ton, but they're not inefficient either. Like,
right.
They both, like, you know, they're both shooting about 47% from the field as guards. That's really nice. They have the bad Plumlee, so that's not going to help.
Hey, Mason's a perfectly fine Plumlee.
I like,
perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, but
Miles
is
a good Plumlee.
He's a good Plumlee.
Yeah, Miles is like the guy that I want in a Gap ad, but I think Mason's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah.
I mean, what more do you want than 10 points and however many rebounds I can find on this chart. eight rebounds? No.
Let's put it this way. Only one Plumlee has a World Basketball Championship medal, and it's bad Plumlee.
Yeah, quick Well, I'll just save that for handout, man.
let's take some time. Can we rank the Plumleys right now? I think we need to defend the Plumlee rankings.
Oh, it's Miles and then Mason. And then there's one who's still at Duke right now. Yeah, he's not good.
Yeah.
I do want to give one sneaky shout out to one of my personal favorite rookies this season, Cliff Alexander. He has had a rough start, and he's literally one roster spot away from dropping down to the D League. But if he can literally find anything left in the tank and turn it around, what he put on the court in his high school years besides Jahlil Okafor in Chicago, I think he could be one of the rising stars in his NBA.
I see where you're going with that. Cliff Alexander, as a Michigan State fan, is a little bit of a touchy topic. If you go around message boards, you're going to get some real steaming takes about that. He was close to committing to Michigan State, and then his dad got out of jail, and then he was going to Kansas after that.
Yeah.
And those of you who follow college basketball recruiting know that Kansas is not necessarily the cleanest program in the world. But he really messed himself up. He got suspended during that year. He needed another year in college. He's a small power forward who can't shoot.
It's like the Kansas special.
Yeah, it's kind of, he's got to redevelop his game, because he won in high school. He dominated with power and post moves, and at 6'8", can't really get that done in the NBA. You got to be as athletic as Kenneth Faried to not shoot a power forward.
Exactly.
I mean, I think he has some very unique physical attributes, and I think, you know, if there ever was a team that could turn around a player, you know, I see the
nice
Portland Trail Blazers right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like a Spurs-esque model of let's just get a bunch of low candidates and just start working on them.
Yeah.
So we got Noah Vonleh, we got Cliff Alexander.
Yeah,
I think
they've got
a whole
there's
some potential
power
here, but definitely not for a couple years.
Yeah,
I'll roll with that. We're going to take it back to the Pacific Division, and I'm right now sporting some LA Clippers socks to talk about the Lob City Clippers. You know, I moved out to LA after college. It was Blake Griffin's rookie season was the next year, his first year playing.
It was a monster year.
Missed the whole original rookie season. You know, awesome, fun team to watch then, and then Chris Paul thing happened, and now they've really taken off. Second place in my hot take rankings this week was that I believe the Clippers have the best starting five in the NBA. Not necessarily if you go position by position, somebody else might, you know, be able to beat them, but the way it fits together and the fact that they have two creative players, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, just outstanding offensive minds, two guys like Chris Paul, just dominant intelligence, Blake Griffin, dominant athleticism plus intelligence. And as we were talking about before the podcast, hitting his shots now, even though sometimes he shoots on the way down, still doesn't look perfect, he's got the touch to hit that 20 to 21 footer. And when he can pick and pop in addition to the post-up game, in addition to the roll game, and then he can, both he and Paul are looking for DeAndre Jordan, and you got J.J. Redick, who's just a perfect fit with them offensively. Lance is doing a good job so far of staying out
Lance
of the way.
Lance will make him dance.
He's nice. Given that they are, I can only imagine how many times he got yelled at in the preseason by Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and he's responded by not being in the way. So kudos to you, Lance. I like the Clippers a lot. They've got some big problems with playing their bench all together. And this is a weird Doc Rivers thing. Somebody wrote an article about it this week they play their whole bench together. And that lineup is Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, Wesley Johnson, Paul Pierce, and Josh Smith. That's not an NBA lineup. It doesn't work.
No.
If you're the Clippers, here are the front courts that you can have. Blake Griffin and DeAndre, you can have Paul Pierce and Blake Griffin. You can have Josh Smith and Blake Griffin, Josh Smith and DeAndre. One of Blake or DeAndre has to be on the court.
Exactly.
I think both, honestly. At all times. No, I don't think that there's another player that should start in the NBA behind those players because they are awful. They're so bad. I mean, Cole Aldridge, right? He had 12.5 and 12.5 for the Knicks last season.
Per 36.
Per 36 minutes. That's like the Knicks' favorite stat to slide out. I mean, like the first word that needs to be uttered is for the Knicks.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just
no, he's not going to be on the court. Austin Rivers is a really, really fringy NBA player.
It's so weird. Until the playoffs last year, I had no belief that he should be in the league, and then he had that great run. But it's weird.
He had that great run. They needed him to have that great run, and he came through. Good for him. I don't think it changed him fundamentally as a player. I think he was talking about his free agency going into the offseason, like you're going to have options
right.
other than your dad's team.
Right.
So, Paul Pierce could be a real difference maker here if
Absolutely.
They stop playing him in that terrible lineup.
Right.
Get, you've got to salvage, you got to work around the bench that you have for the Clippers. Listen, Josh Smith is an NBA player, which is better than what you had last year. He's probably better than Big Baby, but you can't play him at center.
No.
For years, Doc has been doing this weird thing in Vinny Del Negro before him, where they would play as their backup center like Lamar Odom, Big Baby, and now Josh Smith. It's not okay.
Right.
You have to stop.
Yeah. Especially because Josh Smith can give you so much with the ball in his hands. You know what I mean? He's such a great pick and roll ball handler and a pick and roll screener. Like, let him create for people like Paul Pierce and Austin Rivers.
Yeah, and him with Griffin is a really nice combo.
Yeah.
Him with DeAndre could work really well. Just him and Paul Pierce, there's no size.
Right.
You're going to get murdered on the glass, and it's not going to work.
I think that this Clippers team, they may have the best starting five, but I don't think Lance is a part of it. I think that when Paul Pierce starts for them in the playoffs and puts in those minutes, I think that's when they're the best starting five.
That's their crunch time five.
But,
and I think they will do that in crunch time.
Yeah.
I think they're going to keep Paul Pierce on the bench just to make Lance feel important.
That and, we don't need Paul Pierce to play 82 games. You know what I mean?
No.
You need Paul Pierce to play 16 games in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's it.
Just get him practice.
Honestly, I think this team is a ticking time bomb. I do not buy into the stats that Lance put out 2 years ago. I think if you look at what he did...
The Charlotte Hornets games, really?
I'm taking them seriously. He had amongst players that had 100 or more 3-point attempts, he shot a league worst 17.
But he was playing on the Hornets.
And you look at the Hornets efficiency ratings. His net rating on all four of the top 10 most used lineups, he was in the bottom 3 of 4, including one that was the worst in the NBA, -25.1.
I hear
that
you.
That is absolutely despicable.
But that one awful year on an awful team does not take away the two great years he had on a really, really good team.
I
think that's the real Lance Stephenson.
Lance, one of the key things for him, if you look at 3-point percentage, 2013. 33%. Then 14, 35%, 15, 17. This year so far is 4-for-9. He doesn't need to do what he did on the Pacers. And then he tried to do what he did on the Pacers on the Hornets, and they didn't have a good team around him to kind of make up for his crazy freelancing.
Yeah.
And he got in a lot of trouble. I think athletically he's good. Defensively, he was a beast on those Pacers teams. It could work. I'm not saying it will continue to work, but I think it could.
I like Lance Stephenson. I think he's a great pick and roll ball handler. I think he's a great passer. And I think when the offense is working for him, he can be one of the best defenders on the court.
Yes.
I like Lance.
I think Josh Smith, same. Lance Stephenson, and Cole Aldridge all on the same team is one too many caustic, ready to blow kind of players.
Cole Aldridge is not going to play that much for them, I think. But he could just have a Andrew Bogut factor of just being there and ruining the team. Okay, let's move on because I would definitely spend multiple podcasts just talking about the Clippers. Let's go to the Grizz in the Southwest. Quentin, talk to me. Another Michigan State guy, Zach Randolph. Shout out to him.
I love Zach Randolph. The Grizzlies, man. I think... So here's the thing with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have always had the same problem, and it's outside shooting. They had that problem when they had O.J. Mayo and Rudy Gay. They've had that problem for the past 4 or 5 years with Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. They can't shoot the ball. And this year, they still can't shoot the ball. And now they can't win games because they cannot shoot the ball. I heard a report last night, Dave Yoger's on the hot seat. That doesn't particularly surprise me, but at the end of the day, they could bring in, you know, Jerry West if they wanted to. This team still can't shoot the ball. And until they learn how to shoot the ball, this team will not win very many games and probably won't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to call one caveat. I think that Vince Carter can still shoot the ball, but...
Yeah,
I mean, they have, like, guys on their team who are taking, like... They have Jeff Green, who's taking 2.7 a game, shooting 31%. Courtney Lee's taking 4 a game, shooting 21%.
Yeah.
Mike Conley's taking 3 a game, shooting 33%. No, those are all off the dribble, probably, so that's actually a good percentage. But they can't shoot. I'm a Detroit Tigers baseball fan, and for, like, since 2006, they have been good, but they have had a terrible bullpen.
Yeah.
And they've never fixed it. And every year in the playoffs... Or, like, down the stretch, they lose because they have a terrible bullpen.
Right.
And it's just, you know, they have the Achilles heel. Somebody brought up the idea at one point, it might have been Zach Lowe in a column, of, like, having home teams set the ground rules on their court. And the Grizzlies, in that case, would just remove the three-point line.
Exactly.
And that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Yeah. So, like, the question for me, then, is, like, what can this team do in the, like, immediate future to get good? And someone's got to go.
Yeah.
And who is it?
Is it Zach?
Zach is, like, who you'd, like, the Grizzlies would like to trade, but who's going to trade for Zach Randolph from modern-day NBA?
Yeah.
He's too old, he can't protect the rim, and he's not the good outside shooter. He's an old-school NBA player.
Yeah.
They've
been successful sort of building around his quirks.
Exactly.
You know?
They just re-signed Jeff Green. I don't see anybody really wanting him. They're not going to let Marcus Ole go. Mike Conley is probably the team's...
He's their best player.
He's their best player.
I mean,
he's their most important player.
Marcus Ole are, like, kind of tied.
Yeah.
But
he's
unique.
Yeah, he's so unique. He's their best perimeter defender. I don't know. Jarrell Martin, I like him, but if he wasn't hurt, he'd be the guy to trade to get someone in there who could shoot. But he's not going to play for a while. I don't know. This team is a mess.
They don't have it's the problem of being good and not winning a title for a long time is you don't get draft picks.
Exactly.
And they've traded some draft picks to make some things happen. Did they have Kufos before?
They did.
And they traded him
to the Nuggets.
I don't know what they got out of that.
I think they got 2 first rounders.
Okay. Because Mozgov Price would have dictated that they should have gotten 2 first rounders.
Yeah,
but
that's a good question.
They don't have a young talent, and what they really need is a shooting guard who can hit threes and a small forward who can hit threes, you know, then you'd have a good team, but that's a long way to go.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate because I do like Dave Yoger as a coach, but I'm forgetting the owner's name, Michael Pera, the owner of the Grizzlies, has a very short lease, particularly when it comes to Dave Yoger. He was the guy who tried to trade him a couple years ago. He wanted to put, like, a headset and Google Glass on him so he could give him orders during the game.
Damn.
This...
that's amazing. Wow, I didn't even know about that.
It's like...
Is Pera, like, one of those hedge fund bros?
He's a hedge fund guy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he thinks he knows everything about everything.
And he's actually a pretty good basketball player. He played in the celebrity game last year.
Okay.
But something's going to happen with this team, and it's not going to look like this at the end of the year.
Yeah, not a lot of assets. And, I mean, I've really enjoyed watching the Grizzlies be good, especially because they turned around Z-Bo.
Exactly.
Who, you know, had walked through the desert as an NBA player.
Exactly.
And he came out and became something special there. You know, the grit and grind thing, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
The death knell for this team was when the Warriors put Bogut on Tony Allen in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And it was like, there was no response.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just said, we're not even going to have to guard your guy. We're just going to play zone and play 5-on-4, and you're screwed.
You know, this team has always been a nightmare playoff matchup. You know what I mean? Because in the playoffs, defense is really what wins series, and they could guard any team.
Yeah, they just pack it in.
And that could be the case this year, but they have to make the playoffs first.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see that happen.
And you also have to score.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, you can't – our high school basketball coach, Scott Tompkins, I think one of the players on the team joked that his preferred strategy would be to win the tip, run down, get a transition layup, play defense, and win 2-0.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what they're trying to do.
So, those are the Grizzlies.
The Grizz. Okay, we're going to move over to the Northwest, and one of the most interesting, most talked about teams early in the year, Oklahoma City Thunder. Dan, what do we got?
I really like the look of this Oklahoma City team. They haven't done much, but honestly, they didn't really need to when their change from last year to this year is a healthy Kevin Durant, who, former MVP, probably one of the best, if not the best, players in the NBA right now.
Yep.
On top of that, you now have a fresh look Westbrook coming off of a vicious season, and he looks like he's just ready to just destroy NBA teams yet again. I mean, look what he did with shot against the Magic in the first week. It was brutal.
He's playing with an exquisite amount of hate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's delightful.
And then, you know, questionable depth. I mean, a depth here. Enes Kanter was given a max contract because they had to. He's been playing pretty well, actually, to start the season.
Quick take on Enes Kanter, because this was potentially one of my early hot takes for the season. I thought he sucked, and I thought they were screwed when they had to max him out. And he is so good on offense.
He's such a good offensive player.
He is so good on offense, and his effort, his motor is high. He's a great offensive rebounder, and he's got touch in a post-up game.
He can shoot.
The only problem is they have him and Waiters Island as two guys who are kind of loafers that they need to get to hustle on D. If they can break through to him, or Serge Ibaka can, like, punch him in the face in the locker room, I'm not condoning violence. I'm just saying whatever needs to happen to make him try or just be aware on defense, he's good.
He's really good.
He's good.
He's really good.
And I mean,
continuing on
taking a lap out to Dion Waiters Island here. I mean, most people you're going to hear in these NBA previews, they're going to say, who plays shooting guard for this team? And I really think that they're all sleeping on Dion Waiters.
It is. It's Dion Waiters.
I think Dion Waiters is totally primed for a comeback. I mean, he's in a contract year. He has his first start not on a Cavs roster to start the season.
Yeah.
He looks lean, he looks mean, and I think his shot selection actually might have cleaned itself up a bit.
Yeah.
I won't bore you guys with the fact that his entire shot chart for the preseason was glowing green like a Christmas tree. But I really like the look of Dion Waiters to start this season, and I think with Billy Donovan as their new head coach, there's really not a better second chance being given out in the NBA this year than what Dion Waiters has.
They went to him two possessions in a row.
Yes, in that Spurs
against
game.
The Spurs.
Yeah.
And he hit.
And he hit.
And I was like, I don't trust reality.
Right.
Like, this is happening. The Thunder, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook are getting out of the way so Waiters can go to work.
Yeah.
And he hit,
against
the Spurs.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the Thunder is they totally wet the bed against the Bulls earlier this week. It was really, really disappointing to see. Basically, Billy Donovan got completely outcoached. You see down the stretch, basically ran the same play five times in a row. Derrick Rose, high pick and roll with Pau Gasol. And they switched every time, and Enes Kanter was stuck guarding Derrick Rose. And
they were able to get Enes Kanter just isolated and clear out. And
on Derrick
Rose.
The
Thunder were not helping.
Right, you can't do that. Everybody knows that Enes Kanter can't guard anyone, and the last person you want to try to guard is Derrick Rose in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, blitz that or do something. Get the ball out of his hands. Don't let Derrick Rose ice on Enes.
Exactly.
Yeah, anytime you can let Derrick Rose look like MVP Derrick Rose, I mean, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, somebody, I think it was it was either Etuan Moore or the Bulls' other backup point guard, Aaron Brooks, who just went right at Kanter, put his left shoulder to his chest, and hit like a layup over him, and was like,
exactly.
That guy's a foot shorter than you. Right. What is happening?
Yeah, and you know, obviously, like, I'm going to call him Scott Brooks again. Billy Donovan is a rookie head coach. He's still in this roster. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to put Enes Kanter on the court in the fourth quarter, you have to be able to, you know, scheme around him on defense.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Have to, or else the team's going to keep losing games.
Absolutely. And I just want to throw this in there because it's one of my favorite things to talk about in sports history. This, you know, they're a good team. They've got some nice pieces. We've talked about the team they have. Mm-hmm. But you can never talk about the Thunder without mentioning that they made the worst trade in my lifetime in sports.
Yeah.
And they've made up for some of it, but you know, they trade James Harden for Jeremy Lamb, Steven Adams, a year of Kevin Martin, and I think like one other, Mitch McGarry,
yeah.
I think is who they got out of that pick. And it's, you know, it's a terrible trade. It was terrible when it happened. Yeah. It's turned out to be just horrifying, you know, because they did, they tried to lowball James Harden. Mm-hmm. You end up having a max Enes Kanter now for right. more money than you would have paid James Harden.
Right.
So nothing about that has worked out. And, you know, the way we talk about the Warriors, that could be how we're talking about the Thunder had they not made that colossal mistake.
And the other thing that you can't really talk about the Thunder without bringing up is the fact that Kevin Durant's a free agent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
KD to DC.
And, okay, obviously I'm a Wizards fan. Obviously I'm biased. Let's not talk about KD to DC, and let's talk about the realistic scenario, which is Kevin Durant likely signs a one-year tender mm-hmm. with a player option, and then him and Russell Westbrook are free agents at the same time in the next year.
Yes, mm-hmm. and I could definitely see them both changing teams to different teams.
Exactly.
And that may, for both their careers, be the right long-term move. But I think it's interesting with Kanter and Waiters getting a little better and potentially Ibaka being healthy, this team's all of a sudden really good again.
Yeah.
They might be good enough to keep him.
It's,
you know,
it's a very scary time to be an Oklahoma City basketball.
Very
fan.
Much so.
I think you look at the last time like one of the top players in the NBA had a 1 year deal and tried to use it to his advantage. You look at what LeBron was able to build as like the pseudo GM for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I think that
I'm not so sure it's pseudo.
He is the GM.
But yes,
saying is that kind of power and clout. I think that's going to light the fire underneath the Thunder. If they don't get done this year, which I really think that if they can get Billy Donovan on the same page, I think they can get it done this year. But
they
even,
could.
Even next year, a 1 year deal with Kevin Durant, if he can hold them hostage like that, I think that there could be some moves made and we could see a very different Thunder team by then.
I just don't know how much the players they have are better players than trade assets,
yeah.
and they're going to just roll with this. And it's good, and they might win the title. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault if they don't,
right.
because they're in an incredible conference, and the league is great right now.
Exactly.
It is their fault in that they traded James Harden. But other than that, it's not their fault.
Right.
It's not the players' fault if they don't win it this year. Let's move on. I'm going to move a little quicker through this team, which is the Phoenix Suns. Really interesting and pretty good team. I like the Suns. They don't have enough talent right now to really make a huge difference. They have the really interesting backcourt of Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight. We talked about the Clippers earlier. You know, the Clippers have made a couple like really bad trades and had some really good luck in the lottery mm-hmm. in building that team. One of their trades was trading Baron Davis and the pick that became Kyrie Irving
right.
for Mo Williams, which was just, I mean, that's a really, really
bad
trade.
That's crazy.
It's like an insanely bad trade. They got Chris Paul, and they probably would have traded Kyrie Irving for Chris Paul, so maybe that gets them Eric Gordon.
But
it's just evaluating that move on itself.
Right. Like, you could have a team where it's Kyrie Irving, maybe Eric Gordon, maybe someone else, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. Like,
yeah. Nice. And they also made a trade, which was Eric Bledsoe for functionally Jared Dudley and J.J. Redick. Right. Now, J.J. Redick is a great fit.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great fit.
Jared Dudley, ideally, is a great fit, too.
Yes. And they screwed that up.
Yeah.
They really screwed that up. I don't know what Doc had against Jared Dudley last season, but he like wasn't playing, and they were playing Hedo Turkoglu.
Yeah.
And they ended up trading a first-round pick to get rid of Jared Dudley.
Right.
Even though teams like him, he's good.
Yeah.
Especially as a small ball four.
Yeah.
And he's great on podcasts.
He's great. He's a great personality. He can play three positions.
JMZ, if you want to come on, I'm sorry, Mark Jackson.
Oh, please.
We are ready anytime. Yeah. But they could have had Bledsoe and Chris Paul, and Bledsoe has shown he can play with another point guard.
Yeah.
That would extend Chris Paul's career. You'd always have one of them on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially sneaky, terrible move.
Yeah.
But Phoenix Suns, they got Chandler, which Chandler's really good.
Yeah,
still. He's been really good every year for a long time.
Yeah.
Another crazy thing with the Thunder is they traded for Chandler and he failed a physical.
Yeah, oh,
so they
man.
Could have had a starting five of or crunch time five, Westbrook, Harden, Durant, Ibaka, Chandler, which
yeah.
is just auto title.
Yeah.
They have the thing about the Suns is they're spunky, and they have Chandler and mm-hmm. Bledsoe and Knight is kind of big money guys, and then they have Markieff Morris, who's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He had some legal trouble in the offseason. I don't really know.
I don't know if it's been resolved yet.
Okay, yeah, with Marcus. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
So they traded Marcus, I think, to break them up.
Right.
And Marcus is good on the Pistons.
Yeah.
Those guys are talented. Apparently, maybe troubled as well. But TJ Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin and I were talking earlier. We both really like TJ Warren.
He's so creative, man. I love him.
Yeah,
love him.
Hustle gets a lot of gets a lot of easy buckets with athleticism, good cuts, creativity. Can kind of finish with either hand. And then some other guys who just are interesting. We don't know what they're going to really be yet. John Luer is sort of like a stretch four hustle guy. He's probably not going to be much. He's been on a couple teams. Alex Len, though, is the stretch five.
Yeah.
And stretch fives are really interesting in that...
He can also play in the post, too, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of a, small center.
Yeah.
Skinny center, we'll
Y'all
say.
Y'all are being so generous to this team right now.
No, come on!
I'm looking at this roster. I see, an island of misfit draft.
No.
It is sparse out there. I think besides the Bledsoe and Brandon Knight, who, both those still have big question marks up in the air. I don't know how this team puts out anything close to a contingent.
Before you get there, one, I want to say Brandon Knight is so underrated, it's unfair.
Very nice player.
Brandon Knight is the reason the Milwaukee Bucks are Milwaukee Bucks, and they traded him for Mark Carter Williams. I love Brandon Knight. He's like a walking 25-point scorer. He can play both guard positions. He can defend. He's super quick.
They probably couldn't have gotten Monroe
right
if they hadn't done that trade. But if they could have done the Kawhi play with Brandon Knight, gotten him to wait to sign, then that team would be really nice right now.
Really good.
They have good talent is the thing. I don't think they have elite talent. They're not. They might make the playoffs. Making the playoffs in the West is an achievement.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the 8 seed in the West. That's nice. Devin Booker, really good shooter.
Yep.
We don't know anything about what he's going to be. They're not even playing Mirza Teletovic, who I kind of like.
I like him a lot, too. I'm surprised he isn't starting on some team.
As a stretch for another guy who might get sucked into the Stan Van vortex this offseason.
Yeah.
Look out for that, because perfect Stan Van four. They're interesting to watch if you watch them. They play really hard. They play good defense. They have 2 point guards. It's fun to watch. I am kind of with you, Dan, in that it's not an elite roster. It's not at all an elite roster, but they're kind of interesting.
But there's nothing wrong with not being an elite roster.
No. And they're kind of contending for playoff spots, and they're fun.
Yeah.
Fun team.
I really don't think that this team has any player that's going to take the next step this year. And they really... It just feels like outside of Bledsoe and Knight, it's pretty dry.
I agree, but... Inside of Bledsoe, you've got a backcourt of 2 point guards. Bledsoe is one of the best.
They're both under
defensive
25.
Point guards in the NBA. He can guard either guard position. Scoring 21 a game right now I've got it right here. He's only shooting 42% from the field and 29% from three, which is not good for him. Those are below his career averages. He's a good player. Knight's better offensively, and I think it's just really interesting and young and talented.
Yeah.
They're both signed up to long, not that bad deals.
Especially under the new cap. They're fun. Yeah. I like them.
A team that struggled to re-sign Bledsoe in the offseason last year. A team that sent Isaiah Thomas.
What does it mean to struggle to re-sign someone, though? Because they did re-sign him.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a one or a zero on that.
I agree. Listen, this team they're flexible, they're fun, they have one of the best training staffs, they're always one move away from being really good.
Dan's
the kind
homework.
Of league fans team that when you watch them, you're like, wait, why is my team down to this team right now?
We're gonna lock Dan in a room with the Suns for a weekend, and he's gonna get Stockholm syndrome and love them. Let's move on. To the Southwest and one of the best teams in the NBA every year, the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers of basketball.
The Alabama Crimson Tide. The marquee franchise of the NBA at Spurs.
The marquee franchise in sports, really.
You can't dispute it.
So,
you just can't dispute it.
The Spurs, I think they're 3-2 right now. They lost to Heartbreak to the Wizards. It's tough to really gauge who this team is going to be, because
also lost a 2-point game to the Thunder.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Something like that.
The Spurs are always going to be a really scary playoff team, and they got even scarier because they were able to get LaMarcus Aldridge from the Blazers. Kawhi Leonard is looking like
a superstar. Super good. They're playing him out of the post, which is really nice. I think the biggest issue with this team right now is they don't really know what each other's role is. They don't know what shots they're looking for. Watching them against the Wizards, like, a lot of weird mid-range jumpers from Kawhi and from LaMarcus.
Yep.
They're going to figure it out. They're going to be really good. I think right now it's hard to look at what they've done and make any sort of long-term predictions about this team. But they've still got the best coach. They've got the best perimeter defender. They've got the best inside scorer. And I'm not talking about Tim Duncan, Monte Ginobili, or Tony Parker yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That team is really scary.
Yeah. Duncan is still really
good. Yeah.
He's still really good. And he's playing 29 minutes a game. He's an elite defender and rebounder. Yep. He's over 3 assists a game yeah. as a center in 29 minutes. He's just an incredible all-around player. I hated Tim Duncan because of the googly eyes and he beat the Pistons in 2005. Yeah. But you just can't not enjoy what this team does. They're the team that tries to play basketball in the truly beautiful way.
Yeah.
And it's the Brazil soccer thing.
Yeah.
You just, like, even if you don't want them to win, you have to appreciate that they're there exactly. and they're doing that.
Exactly.
Love the Spurs team. One thing I think they're going to miss is Bellinelli. I think they have one too many power forwards in West because Diaw is really nice. You can play Kawhi down low a little bit. Aldridge can play both spots. Duncan can play both spots.
They're playing Anderson at power forward, too. So it's a lot. There's a lot of power forwards on that roster.
Yeah, and just a little light on shooting in the bench, maybe. But, Patty Mills can make up for a lot of that. They're just, maybe Kyle Anderson can hit some threes for them in crunch time. But tremendous talent. Best front court probably in the NBA.
Yeah, and what's crazy is they're going to be good next year, and the year after that, and the year after that.
It's
because of Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge.
It's the they transition from era to era.
Yeah, exactly.
They did it with from Robinson to the Tony Parker Manu era.
Yep.
And Duncan was the constant, and now Duncan's going to fade out and pass the torch.
Yeah.
And they'll have, next year. Let's say next year Duncan retired, which I don't think he will. I think he's probably going to play one or two more after this. You've got LaMaldridge, Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. And Boris as your front court. That's the best front court in the NBA next year.
And the thing that we also don't talk about when we talk about the Spurs is how good their coaches are. They probably have the 4 or 5 best coaches on the league, too. You know what I mean?
Greg Popovich, all-time legend.
Andy Orsina, Ime Udoka. They're really good.
Wow. And Becky Hammond.
Won the friggin' Summer League Championship.
And what's great about Becky Hammond being the first female assistant in the NBA is that because she works for the Spurs, there's no question that she's not only qualified, but probably one of the best assistants in the NBA.
Exactly.
So great.
Yeah.
All right.
What a franchise.
Great team. Great franchise. Let's go to Dan and another really interesting team, Utah. We're 9 teams deep in the West, and we're talking about Utah. That's how cool the West is.
Here's what's surprising to me about Utah. I have honestly not watched that much of this team, but they continually, what I said with the Suns, how they're that team that you watch them on League Pass, and you're like, wait, why is my team down to them? Mm-hmm. Utah Jazz might be like, wait, why is this team in the playoffs? Because they're that good this year. I think, with a few additions that they made at drafting Trey Lyles and
I like Trey Lyles.
Here's a bunch of
could be
of
a
players.
Real nice fit for them because he's an offensive big man and they have great defense. Pardon, defensive big man.
Here's some players they signed in the offseason. I have no idea that any of these members were in the NBA. Raul Neto,
yep.
Travion Brazilian. Graham, J.J. O'Brien.
Right? You could just be making up names at this point. I would have no idea.
And they lost Jeremy Evans. Anyways, this team, I love to watch them. They play with heart, with Rudy Gobert at center and Derek Favors at power forward. I really think that this might be one of the best, going forward, might be one of the best front courts in the NBA.
And you haven't even mentioned Gordon Hayward yet.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I mean, Trey Burke, he's still, maybe it's just my Michigan bias, I think he still has potential to really to really still take it to the next level in this league.
It's definitely your Michigan bias.
Yep.
And I think Alex Burks maybe one of the best backup guards in the league.
He's really good.
Alex Burks is very nice.
And then they have Dante Exum next year. This team's got the future locked
up. Dante Exum, I really wish he would have stayed healthy just to see what he could do. Mm-hmm. I think he's still going to take a couple more years to develop because he's big and
But he's 19 years old.
But yeah, the potential of like a, what is he, like 6'7" point guard? Man, yeah, and with him at point guard, you know, then that would even further solidify their length and just insane defensive ability.
Exactly.
This is, take the under in every game if you bet. Because no one's going to score. They're not great on offense, and they're incredible on defense. The Stifle Tower, just such a cool, fun young player. You know, Hayward is coming into his own on offense. He's not having a super efficient year so far, shooting 39% from the field, but they're relying on him to kind of do everything.
I really like Derek Favors a lot.
I watched Derek Favors just, I think it was the Pistons and he just beasted in the post many times.
I miss Derek Favors to actually be the featured godparent to all my kids. He's like probably one of my favorite players.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Great rebounder. He's got the post moves. He can shoot a little bit.
Yeah, just like an old school front court.
Yeah, exactly.
Like shot blocking, super athletic center, and just like a angry,
strong man.
Power forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can kind of just do the two goalies thing on defense with those two. And
they're
very,
awesome.
Yeah. Very fun team if you like defense.
Awesome I think this team is no doubt going to get pushed around a lot by the top players in the West. You know, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Spurs. But there's so much room right now in that bottom half of the West. I think that they could easily be in contention for the 8th seed. You know, with
I think higher.
Plus, I think they've absorbed a couple contracts recently and gotten some first-round picks coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got a couple from the Warriors for allowing them to sign Iguodala. Mm-hmm. They traded a couple contracts with them, like Biedrins.
Yep.
And I think they did that again. So they have some picks coming up, and they're young, and they're good.
Yeah, and they have a great coach. Quinn Snyder's awesome, so great team.
Great coach. Great coach. Okay, we're going back to the Pacific Division. I'm going to keep it short on the Sacramento Kings. Somehow didn't finish last year.
Yeah.
Love DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, they're just, this is a nightmare. They have picked like in the top five so many times in recent years. And they whiff, and then they do stuff like they drafted Stauskas 8th overall last year and traded him for nothing so they could sign Rondo.
Yeah. I think they had to give up a pick to get rid of him.
Yeah, they did.
Haralambos Vulgaris, shout out to him, NBA gambler extraordinaire, on Twitter pointed out that they're scoring like 1.2 points per possession with Rondo on the bench and like 0.8 with him on the court. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He sucks. You know, you can say, oh, he did all this stuff in his career and he's a good basketball player. When he's on the court, his team is worse, and it's been that way for a while. I hate watching Rondo. I hate this whole team pretty much, except for Boogie, and I love Boogie.
I like Rudy Gay. I like Rudy Gay a lot.
I like his career reclamation.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they just put him at power forward and Cousins at center.
Yeah.
And had not been idiots because they hadn't worked out Moutier.
Yeah.
And I think, I forget, were they picking like 4th or 5th this year?
4th.
Yes.
4th. And they drafted Cauley Stein, who was like the 15th best prospect.
You already have a center.
What are you doing? It's a terrible fit. Yeah. Everything in the NBA is going towards smaller, and you draft a guy who can only play center when your best player is
in
a center.
Yeah.
And then the previous 2 years, they drafted McLemore and then Stauskas. Yeah. Same position.
Not to mention Jimmer.
I think that the Kings might just be drafting completely off of what happens in March Madness these days.
You might be right. You might be right.
Even if you had done that, Justice Winslow would have been a better pick than Cauley Stein.
But, you know, quick check in here. What do you guys think about DeMarcus Cousins shooting threes this year?
I'm in.
Big fan.
He can hit it.
I'm out.
Big fan.
I'm 100% out.
Shooting 40% on 3.3 attempts a game.
I will ask everyone to just pause this podcast and go ahead and Google Third Splash Brother.
I love that video.
That man should not be shooting threes. I know he got lucky in some of these opening games.
No!
I think when you give him permission to go on the perimeter, it's just... I will dare him to take any shot.
And I think he's cool. I couldn't disagree anymore with
you. Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more.
He's so good on offense, and that's what you need to do as a big man to extend your career. It's what Blake Griffin's done. You got to start shooting, and he can hit the three.
And it's not a fluke because he's a good free throw shooter.
I mean, the strength of Cousins is that he basically requires a double, if not triple, at some times on defense. But, you know, and so the idea of having him play the perimeter, I think it's really appealing, but I just really think that if smart teams ever were to play them in contested games where they, in a playoff series, you know, granted.
If that
I don't think it's going to happen.
He'll never be in the playoffs.
But I do not think that works, and I don't think you want to go learn that habit.
Yeah. For him?
I would dare him to take as many threes as he wants all day.
For his career, the best thing he can do is take threes right now, because this team sucks. I'm going to drop the no future, no hope Armin Van Buuren stamp on this team. They suck. They're not going to get good. He's going to eventually...
When does he demand a trade? It's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he extended with them too, which is the worst part of all
of it. Well,
I think
you extend because you just take the money and then get traded later.
Exactly. I mean, the Celtics, I think, would die to have him because they don't have a real center and he's
and
an offensive player.
Of
yeah, it would be... That would be a great fit. I just don't think they're gonna trade him because they've tried so hard to build around him and failed. It's just a really bad situation.
It's a bad situation. I think he demands a trade, and I think like this might be one of the few times in NBA history when like most fans agree with a trade demand. Do you know what I mean? No one really agreed when Dwight demanded a trade.
Yeah.
No one really agreed when Carmelo Anthony demanded a trade.
Yeah, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter demanded a trade. You know, if DeMarcus Cousins demands a trade, everyone will be happy.
Free Boogie.
Please free DeMarcus Cousins. He is the best big man we've seen in a very long time.
Trade machine check. Who do you guys want? What team? Like, pieces don't matter. You can move him to any team right now in the NBA. Where would you want him?
Fit? You could watch him blossom.
I think it would be either the Celtics, or it'd be great to see him reunite with John Wall and the Wizards. Even though that would probably ruin KD to DC, like Boogie, John Wall, and Bradley Beal would be pretty good.
Yeah, you can just kind of fill in whatever in the other two spots. Yeah, that would be nice. I'm trying to think of like a good team that needs a center. Like Portland would be a really good fit
for him. Would be a really
good
fit.
They don't necessarily have enough to get him.
Mm-hmm. What about the Suns?
Yeah, the Suns do have enough to get him.
They do. They have Chandler. He's better than Chandler. It would be a better fit. They'd have to trade Chandler to someone else, but that's easy.
I just think a team like the Suns that already has two Wildcats, you add a third, that's like, that's blazing.
Yeah, well,
how soon would John Calipari come calling if they
That'd be crazy.
That was the one, like, I woke up one night and was like, oh, Boogie to the Suns.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and Brandon Knight also Kentucky, so that would be three for them.
Yeah, I would love it.
Let's take it back to the Southwest. The decline, spurned by DeAndre Jordan, Dallas Mavericks.
What a weird team this is. The Dallas Mavericks, you know,
seem to fit.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's weird. Dun.
That's
but,
the Shark Tank theme music.
Okay, nice.
Nice. Well done. I mean, obviously we all know that they whiffed on DeAndre Jordan, and for some reason, Mark Cuban decided to go all in and give all of that money to Wes Matthews.
Well, they had already gotten Wes Matthews
right
as part of the get DeAndre Jordan, and I think he honored what he had already committed.
Which is
to.
Great. Yeah. And Wes Matthews, I love Wes Matthews as a player.
Same.
Probably the best two-way player, like perimeter player in the league. Sorry, Jimmy Butler.
Really nice shooting guard, right there with Jimmy Butler.
Exactly. Can play out of the post,
shooter,
can shoot.
Was the best. I don't know if he's going to be coming back, but we'll see.
He's playing already, you know what I mean?
We'll see. Yeah,
so
he's already on the court.
He's on the court. I love him. I don't know how I feel about Chandler Parsons. I don't know how I feel about Deron Williams. I don't know how I feel about J.J. Barea, but I do know how I feel about Dirk Nowitzki, and I feel like even though he's like 37 years old, he's still whipping his way to 18 points a game.
I am just really thankful that I've gotten to watch Dirk Nowitzki's career. I rooted for him in the Mavs in the finals against the Heat twice.
Yeah.
Really, really hard. And got to watch him win once. Just one of my favorite players. I think one of everybody's favorite players.
Yeah. You can't not love watching Dirk Nowitzki play basketball.
Best shooter over 6'10" in the history of the game.
Exactly.
He's one of the best probably five shooters of any size.
Yeah. But it's tough to see where this team is going. I mean, if you want to say no future, no hope, there couldn't be a better team to say it about.
Yeah.
There's no real youth here. Nobody's Justin Anderson. I like Justin Anderson as a prospect, but he's going to take some time.
And he's like a 3-and-D.
Exactly. Like,
perfect world, Danny Green. Exactly. But that would be like a really huge development for him.
So like when Dirk Nowitzki eventually retires, who are they going to build around?
Yeah, they're going to be bad.
and you know, even if they're not bad this year, they're definitely going to be bad next year.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know about this team at all.
And how long does Rick Carlisle stay around when they're...
Just extended for like 5 years, but...
Rick Carlisle is an outstanding coach.
I love Rick Carlisle.
That's just it. He was the coach of the Pistons. They dumped him unceremoniously for Larry Brown. And Larry Brown won a championship there, but is, as always, was a dick.
Cool Rick Carlisle quote, or stat, he's the only coach to coach consecutive Defensive Player of the Years.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Just, he's been awesome everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
Pistons, Pacers, Mavericks.
Yep.
Outstanding. Okay, let's take it back to Dan, and we're going to talk about the Danker Nuggets.
I really like this Nuggets team.
Awesome team.
You know, they lost Ty Lawson to...
did they lose him?
We traded him. But,
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. Yeah.
But, you know, it really opened it up. I mean, we talked earlier about the fact that Mudiay was passed on by the Kings, and he wound up on the Denver Nuggets. I mean, talk about winning the lottery.
Huge pickup for them.
You know, besides Okafor, probably one of the best players to start off the season.
I think
he's talented. I think that this Nuggets team, you know, they got a lot of promise. Probably not good for another couple years.
No.
What I love about this team, obviously Emmanuel Mudiay is great. He reminds me a lot of, like, second-year John Wall. I think he's better than John Wall was when he first got into the league. He's got the speed. He's a better passer than John Wall was when he first came in. And I think he'll eventually, you know, become a pretty good shooter. Oh, Cookies just entered the studio.
Shout out to my fiance Hannah for just dropping some fresh baked chocolate cookies on us.
I love Gary Harris, Michigan State. And then they've got such cool big men. I really like Jusuf Nurkić. I like just Joffrey LaVerne. They're a cool team. They're not going to win a lot.
They have unique big men.
Yeah.
Like Nurkić.
Fareed.
Yeah. Both different kind of guys.
Yeah.
Gallinari is really good.
Yep. He's still really young. People forget. I think he might be 24, 25. He's still really young.
Damn. And
let me check that, though, because I could be wrong. But I think he's pretty young.
Yeah, definitely like a sort of stretch four.
He's 27. Type. Okay. He just turned 27.
Yeah, but that's... I don't know. He's nice. They have a nice little team. I think one of Gary Harris or Will Barton will turn into like a legitimate NBA shooting guard.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Gary Harris. interesting team. They do play Jokic a ton at center, and I'm not sure that he's
good. I think I'm sorry, I got a cookie in my mouth.
No, you don't apologize for that.
Nurkić is hurt.
Yes, so
Jokic is playing.
That's what's
once
going
Nurkić
on.
Once Nurkić is healthy, he's awesome. He's angry. He can do a ton on the court. I love that guy.
It's a team that can only scratch one itch at a time.
I'm looking at a depth chart opened up on Quinn's computer right now. It says J.J. Hickson is the top center. So
yeah, he's...
That's going to change.
J.J. Hickson is like a rental car of NBA centers.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to Dan, and we're going... Or no, we just talked about... Dan's Danker Nuggets. My bad. We're going back to my division, the Pacific, and we're talking about the Lake Show. Woo! Lake Show, one of those teams that we only pay any attention to because they're the Lakers, and they've been good for a long time. Couple interesting young pieces with D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle. Really wanted to see what Julius Randle could do last year. That was a really unfortunate injury. I went to a high school All-Star game a few years ago when it was Julius Randle on one team and Aaron Gordon on the other team, and they were kind of the dominant players. And that was also the first time that I saw how shitty the Harrison twins were at basketball, which is something that really plagued the Kentucky Wildcats over the last couple of years. Randle, much like Karl Towns, he dropped a little bit in the draft. Karl Towns went one overall. That's not the thing. They both played at Kentucky, and if you watched Kentucky, the Harrison twins refused to pass their best player the ball.
Yeah.
We were at a party, Quinn and I, and during the Wisconsin-Kentucky game, crunch time, one of the Harrisons has it, and Karl Towns is posting up on the block, like perfect position. Yeah. It is 2 points. If you throw him, he's got his defender sealed, and they don't pass him the ball.
Yeah.
And that's the experience of playing for Kentucky for a big man. Mm-hmm. So Julius Randle, I think, is yet to throw his first NBA pass, but it's understandable. When you play at Kentucky, the ball becomes precious.
Exactly.
I think he'll figure it out. Kobe's going to scream at him a bunch this year. Their coach sucks.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate that they have a young team with Byron Scott. They have to fire him as soon as possible and get somebody who's going to teach and develop. Because Byron Scott's an idiot who thinks that they're like a good team right now.
I don't know what Byron Scott's thinking, but this
doesn't think threes are a good thing.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's very weird. Dan, thoughts on the Lakers?
You know, I, as someone who's had first-hand traumatic experiences with Byron Scott, I can't vouch enough for how awful that man is, but... really, I just think this Lakers team, they have so much fun hiding behind Kobe Bryant that, like, the second Kobe can get injured, the second he can go to the bench, like, I'm tuning in all night, every night.
Yeah.
And I hope that they're on ESPN. I mean, like, this team with D'Angelo Russell, Nick Young, Julius Randle, Lou Will. I mean, like, the number of just, like, cocky shooters on this
team. There is only one ball. That's the main problem. Like, Lou Williams and Nick Young... Two other guys were still looking for their first NBA pass.
But let's be real. This team is treading water. They're waiting for Kobe Bryant to retire. Once Kobe Bryant retires, they'll have a real roster. But right now, all they want to do is sign people to one-year deals.
Yeah, they're definitely holding out for Russell. They want Russell.
Right now. Yeah, exactly. They're waiting for Russell Wilson to be a free agent so they can sign him.
Which will really upgrade their quarterback position. Yeah. Russell Wilson signs with, I think we're talking about Russell Westbrook.
Excuse me. But it'd be cool if they signed Russell Wilson too.
Go ahead. I mean, but
just want to shout out to Future right now. We love you. We're not talking about Russell Wilson over you. Okay.
I just think that the Lakers every year get their eyes on whoever the top free agent is, and when has it ever happened?
It's happened a lot. The problem is
many times.
Yeah. The problem right now is it's Kobe. No one wants to play with Kobe Bryant.
Also, Buss.
Yeah.
Younger Buss, like older Buss was like a genius.
Yeah.
Younger. Like so many legendary stories about him, like in like having Kobe over during the Shaq Kobe crisis, and just like sitting in a hot tub and being like, Kobe, we've got a trade. You're going to the Pistons. Is this what you want? And then they get two more titles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this team will be fine, right? Yeah. This isn't their year. They're not trying to win. They're just waiting for Kobe Bryant to retire. And once he does retire, I really like Randle. I really like Clarkson. I really like a lot of these players. So,
agreed. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the best young player in the NBA, Anthony Davis, and his New Orleans Pelicans.
Man, what a disappointing start to the season for the Pelicans. 0-5.
Really tough.
This was supposed to be Anthony Davis's, you know,
big old Pelican.
Yeah, he was. This is when he was supposed to take the step from being, you know, a top 15 player to the second or third best player of the league. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to tell what went wrong. The biggest issue is injuries, obviously. Mm-hmm. They can't really play Jrue Holiday. They're starting Ish Smith, who wasn't in their training camp. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tyreke Evans is out.
Yep.
They don't have enough people to play basketball.
Yeah, Ashik being hurt hurts
them as well. They just
lost
Perkins for like 3 months with a pectoral tear.
Yeah, I mean, that they would actually play Kendrick Perkins right now, too. That tells you how bad the
draft
is.
Exactly. Anthony Davis had a monster game last night. I think he put up 41, but there's no one else. It's him. Their hope. I mean, if Jrue Holiday is healthy, this team should start to look a lot better because he is a really, really good point guard.
Yeah.
But it's tough to tell. He's always kind of.
Jrue Holiday, if he were to get healthy, And then Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and Anthony Davis is a really nice offensive lineup. Yep. You throw in Oshik to kind of clean up your around the rim. You can start winning some games. You know, they're getting behind the eight ball with all these injuries.
I think they're behind the eight ball.
It's a bloodbath out there in the West, and they might not make it this year.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I don't see them winning very many games until they get healthy, and they're not going to be healthy for a while. And that's just, it just sucks.
Yeah. And could be maybe one of the last years that Anthony Davis misses the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if you're a hater, enjoy it now. He's shooting 42% from 3-point range. In case you were to, you didn't think he could do a number of good things on the court.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unfortunate injuries there, but the pieces are there to build.
Exactly.
All right. Last team, Minnesota Timberwolves. Dan, give it to us straight.
All right. A little silver dollar hot take here. What if Minnesota Timberwolves were a playoff team?
The talent, as I mentioned earlier, is really nice. I don't think they're good enough right now, but it wouldn't be that crazy, I guess. Like, they were so bad last year, but Karl Towns is so good in a year of KG playing a little bit.
Andrew Wiggins! Wiggins is so good!
Exactly. Wiggins.
Ricky Rubio's shooting well now. Like, this team, they're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
But
probably not. I disagree.
All right.
So let's talk some of their acquisitions. They drafted Karl Anthony Towns and Tyus Jones.
That's good.
I love
that.
They've
acquired, honestly, like,
best player
the
on
the greatest
team last
set
year.
Of, like, veteran bench players. Like, I don't think that they're going to put many minutes on, but, like, if you have Tayshaun Prince, if you have Kevin Garnett, and you add in just a little bit of that dad spice with Andre Miller, it's honestly, like, that team, like, I mean, like, they lost a huge amount of leadership, and it's so sad to see what happened with Flip Saunders so suddenly.
Yeah.
But if you look at what is on that bench right now, I think the leadership on that team right now is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Building something very nice.
Yeah,
absolutely. They also brought over Nemanja Bjelica, who's I think he was a EuroLeague MVP. Pretty good player. He can play a bunch of different positions, like 2 through 4. So they've got a lot of pieces, man.
Yeah, I really like, I mentioned in my hot take how nice their core of talent is. Rubio is, you know, I'm out on Rubio.
Oh, really? Already?
I'm out on Rubio. I just don't see, I have not seen
you
his.
Want Trump for president?
I've not seen his jumper this year, but it's, you have to shoot the ball as a point guard, and he's been in the NBA for like 4 or 5 years now, and he still can't really shoot.
Right.
Shooting 43% right now from field goal range.
44% from the field is fine from a point guard,
it's
but it's
25
fact,
from three.
And he's taking 2 a game.
Right.
You have to take 5 a game and shoot 35%.
Exactly.
Wiggins and Towns and LaVine is some serious athleticism.
Yeah.
And, just, you know, always going to make the Michigan State homer remark that Adrian Payne is kind of nice, okay?
I don't know if Adrian Payne is kind of nice.
No, but he does, I think, have an upside as like a 10 to 15 minutes a game stretch four.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of like a Charlie Villanueva type.
Yeah, a little bit maybe more aware of what's happening in the world.
Right.
You know, just
Gorky
KG. Is a perfect fill-in for them. He's going to play a little bit. He's going to teach Towns what's up. Interesting little team there out in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on the Timberwolves?
I know this is like the hottest of takes. It's not founded in anything factual that's happening in the NBA right
this,
now.
Wait, is this hotter than Steph Curry is better than Michael Jordan?
No. I mean, the Timberwolves,
we've seen a lot of heat.
They're like a 500 team to start the season, and you know that's not quite going to buy it in the West. But I think like the collection of these players right now, they are so exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And I think that they can take that step. I think Wiggins is probably going to be wind up one of the top players in the NBA.
Oh, of course.
This season, and I think
shooting 29% from the field right now. I just want to make that note.
He shot really well from the field last year. He was doing more on the elbow.
He definitely did. He's
that number's going up. Is what I'm saying.
Couldn't get lower. Couldn't get any lower.
They're gonna be fun to watch. I'm gonna be tuned in. You know, this is not founded in fact, but just my gut says Minnesota. You know, I think it might be a playoff team.
So you're telling me, so in order to be a playoff team in the West, you have to win 50 games. You're telling me the Timberwolves have 50 games this year.
I think that they can win 45.
That's not enough.
Not going to get it done.
That's not going to get it done.
And I don't think they're going to win 45.
And I don't think they're going to... I'm taking the under on that.
I think they're going to be around 30 to 35 with a lot of really nice wins against good teams and a lot of bad losses. And that's how it's going to happen.
I do appreciate the spiciness of that take, though.
Absolutely. It was very tasty.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to get to hand down, man down, because the Western Conference is so good. Yeah. We weren't able to really skip over a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I want to get hand down, man down. Started with Dan because he texted me a couple days ago and he wants to let Brian Windhorst know some things.
All right, I will start off by saying that Brian Windhorst is a fantastic reporter. He has probably the spiciest takes in the NBA throughout every season. And, you know, I respect what he does. He's probably one of the most hated reporters in the NBA as well. And I have to say, I am full irate glass at this man. Stay with me. But honestly, I think that the take that he handed out this past week about Derrick Rose and the rift that's growing between Derrick Rose and the Bulls locker room is just unfounded.
His quote was, the Derrick Rose breakup with the Chicago Bulls has already begun.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yes.
It's just, for me, after having gone through the rocky start with what he was reporting with the trade for Kevin Love and Anthony Wiggins, and then to go through the season and kind of continue his takes on Kevin Love to include all this speculation about him headed to the Lakers, about him headed to any other team that's going to take him. I am so tired of this, like, free agency buzz that he gets to continually put out without any facts. It's when was the last time that he was right about something? Honestly, like, since 2012, when he called the Heat and he was down with the Heat Index, I honestly don't know when this man has been right about a take.
So Brian Windhorst, I have not gone take for take on him,
take
and I can't
for take.
I can't take his takes to task, but I will say, like, he's a guy whose entire career is one player. LeBron James. He's followed him forever.
Since high school.
He's friends, seemingly, or at least has open lines of communication with LeBron's boys, his friends. And so he's able to get information from that. But he always says, like it's a fact, LeBron hates this. LeBron loves this. LeBron thinks this. He doesn't know what LeBron's thinking. It's not believable. He doesn't know that the breakup with the Bulls has already been, because Derrick Rose is under contract for this season and next season, and the Bulls are going to be good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that solves a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, that just struck me as, you know, clickbait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
A fan. Quentin, who's let their guard down a little bit this week?
Hand down, man down. I'm going back at Stephen A. Smith, dude.
Oh, never. That can be like the, you know, he can be the Bill O'Reilly to our Keith Olman.
Oh, absolutely.
Just every week we can tear him a new one.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone was on the internet this weekend, on Friday, when Deadspin released their Greg Hardy report, basically chronicling sort of exactly what Greg Hardy did and why he should no longer be in the NFL. Maybe 5 minutes after that report was released, Stephen A. Smith put out a tweet that says, "I fully support the Dallas Cowboys and Greg Hardy, and I would, if I was an owner or something, I would want him as a part of my organization," which is garbage. And he knows it's garbage. He's saying it so he can get the retweets. I just think it's terrible.
I completely agree. There was somebody had a tweet, mm-hmm. and I really need to give them credit for this, because it was like a fake conversation. Uh-huh. And here it is. This is from at Hegelbon, Hegelbon. Stephen A., "Skip, I want to address this issue." Bayless nods. "You know I am sensitive to the Holocaust." Bayless, "Absolutely. But And just that summarizes Stephen A. Smith so perfectly.
Exactly.
Just says whatever for any reason.
Well, it's not that he says whatever. He intentionally says things that make people mad. He's sided on the side of Floyd Mayweather. He sided on the side of, and in this case, Greg Hardy. It just makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me.
It makes no sense. Yeah. It's terrible, and it shouldn't stand.
Yep.
Go ahead.
You look at that news report. I mean, I go back to the exact same thing that happened with Ray Rice. Like, why do we have to wait for there to be these, you know, these photos and this video in order to actually take action against these players? I think it's despicable. I think that the fact that Stephen A., after
right,
these are getting released, is taking his opportunity to stand with Greg Hardy is ridiculous. And I also have to add one thing. You know, we're seeing a lot of things about reporters that we don't like. If you want to check something out, go ahead and Google Katie Nolan's coverage of Greg Hardy
on
Garbage Time. It is spectacular.
Awesome. If you guys don't watch Garbage Time, you should definitely watch Garbage Time. Katie Nolan's the best.
All right, that leaves me. And my subject this week is, I talked about it because I talked about their team a little bit. It's the Sacramento Kings and their owner, Vivek. I've watched them a little bit, this team. This year, they suck. He's a hedge fund bro who thought he knew everything about basketball, and he came in and he's fired the entire staff twice. Mm-hmm. They've got George Karl, the most win now of win now coaches, just trying to get records.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, all, you know, you sign Rondo, that's bad enough. And now George Karl's, you know, screwing with him by playing Collison over him. And it's a complete mess. I feel so bad for DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. We want him free. Kings, you know, much respect to Sacramento and their fans, because that's a small town that, you know, doesn't have anything else going. But I hate your franchise. I do. It's just, I hate watching
them.
It's
just frustrating. I hate their management. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. It's
absolutely brutal. All right, you guys, what do we got for tunes this week? Because we got to wrap this thing up. I think we're probably about like 2 hours.
For me, Slime Season 2, new Young Thug mixtape. It's really, really good. If you like anything by Young Thug, you'll love this tape. If you like Dirty Sprite 2, you'll also love this tape.
Who doesn't like anything by Young Thug?
Yeah, awesome.
Very great stuff. Dan, what do you listen to?
You know, I haven't been listening to any music this week, but I have been doing something. I've been playing a little game, and I'm just going to take a couple minutes to talk about it. To start the season, every year I like to play with the small data sets a bit. And my personal favorite is the 100% free throw shooters in the NBA. Right? It's like the game of NBA knockout. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to run through some numbers and give you the play-by-play of what's happened so far this season. So just like looking through the first week in the NBA, after the, you know, the end of the first weekend, in the lead, we had Dwayne Wade shooting 20 of 20 from
free throw range. That's impressive.
Very nice.
Through three games. Behind him, just slightly, Kevin Love, 13 of 13. Nice. Grievous Vasquez.
Nice.
Great.
Spicy.
Love him.
13 of 13 as well. Lou Will, 11-11. Kawhi Leonard, 11-11. And now we're going to fast forward through 2 weeks in the NBA. There's been a lot of dropouts. Still holding court through five games played. 14 of 14 each. Dirk Nowitzki and Kawhi Leonard.
Nice.
Dirk might not miss.
He might not miss.
He might not.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. He's not getting fouled that much anymore.
Right, exactly.
He might just go 100% on the year. Yeah, I was playing a little mixtape when Quentin walked in, called Black Dollar by Rick Ross. Rick Ross is not the most nutritious rap to consume, but it is delicious.
It is delicious.
And I first kind of started listening to Rick Ross when I went to a UCLA football practice. I had a friend who was assistant coach there, and they just blared Rick Ross and just hearing that Maybach music over like 7-on-7 drills. And he does CrossFit, which is hilarious. CrossFit, there is a video of Rick Ross doing CrossFit on CrossFit.com. I have worked in CrossFit gyms for 5 years, so shout out to Rick Ross's fitness regimen. And this is just a really fun mixtape. It fits in with everything else Rick Ross does. Kind of found his voice after a little bit of a lull. He did a almost like a diss track about 50 Cent about having all your stuff repossessed. Yeah. but it's first person, so it's really good.
Yeah,
really big fan of that mixtape. All right, I think we're ready to wrap this up, episode 2 Western Conference preview. Thank you guys. Pew, 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 pew. For listening to I'm Sorry, Mark Jackson, and we'll be back next week.